Somebody was praying for me Friday night, because that's when God gave me all this stuff. So I'm glad we didn't have Bible study, because otherwise I'd have nothing to say. I'm here. I guess I need that to do it. So the rest of the story we'll start off with. My wife is a very experienced horseback rider. And she's been working with this new horse. And he's been on autopilot. Does what she wants him to do. No problems. Calm. Easy going. She's been very impressed with him. And so they had opened a meet yesterday for fox hunting. And there's, I don't know how many horses, 50, 75, 100 horses. And some of the horses being stupid. Well, Charlie, he's being calm. He's no problem. Horses are bumping into him and kicking at him and stuff. And he just takes it all in stride. No problem. So she's kind of on autopilot. And she's been on him maybe 3 minutes, 4 minutes, she said. They did pictures and... The next thing she knows, his head goes down, and she says, uh-uh. Well, it was too late, because he bucked. Bucked her off. She hit the ground on her back, flat on her back, she thinks. She doesn't really know. Horse took off running, and she's laying there. And they got her up, and they wanted to call the rescue squad, and she said, no, she didn't want to do that. So anyway, she waited 4 hours or so before she get a ride back home. And then she texted me in the fourth quarter of the game yesterday and said, don't leave the game, but I'm hurting. Come home when you can. I was okay. So I get home, she's laying on the sofa, and I said, so I think we probably ought to go to the ER. I don't want to go to the ER. And I said, well, maybe you can go to Med Express. So we called Med Express. They're still open. So I said, let's go to Med Express. Well, she struggles to get up. She finally gets standing up, and she's kind of standing there, and she says, I don't know if I can move. So we finally got our feet moving, got her to the car, go to Med Express, and go back, and the lady comes in and talks to her, and she says, well, you could have some spinal damage. Said, we can do the x-rays, but that's as far as we can go. You need to go to the ER. So we packed up and go to the ER. And that was a fiasco. We got to the ER around 7 o'clock. I don't think they saw her until midnight. And then it was another hour or so before she saw somebody else. And then it was another hour or so before they took her back to x-ray. And then maybe a half hour before the doctor came in. So the doctor says, nothing's broken. You're good there. But you'll be sore. So he gave her some medicine. She started feeling better. She says, oh, I'm okay. I'm good. Well, not quite. So anyway, she's laid up at home. She's not here today. She's not riding horses today. She's going to take off a few days before she goes back to it. But she's a very experienced rider, and this caught her completely off guard, so you can't kind of take things for granted. So anyway, let's open in prayer. Lord, just thank you for this opportunity, I think, and just thank you for what you've given me. Pray, Father, that my thoughts be your thoughts and my words be your words. Just ask you to take control of this time now and just teach us what you want us to know. In Christ's name, amen. So I was on a Trace Dias weekend a couple weeks ago, and we do chapels every day. And so one of the chapels was given by a guy named Jeff McCormick. He's a crew leader for the Quantico Marine Base. And for those that know, crew, it used to be the Campus Crusade, and that's crew. So what he talked on, or what he gave us a chapel on, was Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 6, I believe it was. So this is going to be an interactive talk today. I'm going to talk, and you guys are going to talk.
Okay.
So I'm going to give out five verses and ask five different people to read them for me. Now I won't pick people out. I'm going to let this be voluntary. So, who wants to take Galatians 6:2? You got 5 seconds. Stephanie's got it. Who wants to take Ephesians 2:11? Mark's got it. Who wants to take up Ephesians 1:22-23? That's two verses, but I know John can handle it. A couple more. Looking for somebody to take on 1 Corinthians 15:28. I see Mike Fincham's hand. He's got it. Mike's a guy, he don't like speaking church. But he's going to speak today. And Galatians 2:20. Legia. All right, so we're going to start off by reading the passage. So I'm sitting in the chapel, and he kind of shared all this, and God kind of laid it on my heart and shook me up a little bit. He said, therefore, I being Paul, not me, a prisoner for serving the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling, for you have been called by God. Always be humble and gentle. That's not easy for me sometimes. Be patient with each other. Make an allowance for each other's faults because of your love. Make every effort to keep yourselves united together with peace. There is one body, one spirit, just as you've been called to one glorious hope for the future. There is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all, in all, and living through all. So that's our text for today. And I've never done anything like this, so I don't know where it's going to go. All right, so I'm kind of breaking it down into verses or sentences or whatever. So the first one is, therefore, I, a prisoner. Maybe I'll do it this way. Okay, leading a life worthy of your calling. Therefore, I, a prisoner of the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling. And for that, I had some verses that I looked up. Philippians 1:27 was, only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of you that you are standing firm in one spirit, with one mind, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel. That was Philippians 1:27. A couple other verses that God laid on me was Colossians 1:10. So as we walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. That was Colossians 1:10. And the other one that kind of fell into this situation or this category was 1 Thessalonians 2:12. We exhorted each of you and encouraged you and charged you to walk in a manner worthy of God, who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. 1 Thess 2:12. So see, I'm not preaching at you guys today. I'm preaching at me, but I'm not preaching at all because it's all scripture. So there we have it. The next little part, for you have been called by God. So we've been called by God, each one of us. We're here. Ephesians 1, 4, and 5. I don't think I gave it to anybody. So even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will. Ephesians 1, 4, and 5. And then it kept on going, verse 11, Ephesians 1, 11. In him, we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. So he chose us. We didn't choose him. He chose us. And the next little section is, and this is the one that got me in the chapel. I'll give you a little story behind this. So Jeff shared this passage about being humble and gentle and keeping peace among everybody. So I'm on this Trace Diaz weekend, and we had a task to do, four of us, to string up some lights in the pavilion. So we went and strung the lights up. Well, one of the head guys came to me the next morning and says, "We got a problem." I said, "What's the problem?" "We got a problem with the lights." "What's the matter with the lights?" "We strung them up." "Yeah, you strung them up. But that's not what we wanted." So I started getting a little warm under my collar. So I said, so what did you want?" "Well, we want them to go around the pavilion." I had them strung through the joist, lighting up the pavilion. I said, "Well, it would have been nice if somebody had told me this before we did it." "Oh, we did tell you this at one of the team meetings." It's like, this is weeks before. And I said, "Well, I don't remember that." And I'm getting warmer. And he said, "Yeah, we told you." And so then God reminds me of being humble and gentle. And so I kind of shut up. I said, "Okay, we'll take care of it." And we did. It took about an hour, so it wasn't a big deal. But myself was getting incensed that they didn't tell me what they wanted. They expected me to read their minds. But God says, "No, be humble and gentle in spirit." And so that's kind of been on my heart for the last couple weeks now. And I find myself in situations, and he keeps reminding me of this verse. I can't understand why. I'm easy to get along with, I think. So anyway, I've kind of gotten off track. Colossians 3:12-14 says, "Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you must also forgive." That was Colossians 3:12-14. And the other verse is Stephanie, if you could read Galatians now. Bear one another's burdens. So that's our marching orders for being humble and gentle. And there's other verses in the scripture. This is not all inclusive. I've lost my track here. Hold on. Oh, okay. Never mind. So the next part is be patient with each other. And again, I don't know why he's pointing this out to me, because I'm patient with everybody. Colossians 3:13-14. And it kind of goes along with the verse we just read with 12 and 14. Well, actually, it's the same thing. Bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you must also forgive. And above all these things, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. Colossians 3, 13 and 14. That's a note I was looking for. And like I said, I didn't get a chance to practice this last night or this morning.
4 hours in the emergency room.
My stupid cell phone died. They had great service, but I didn't have any power. Oh, me. Where was I? We just did patience, right? Yep. Make an allowance for each other's faults. Make an allowance for each other's faults because of your love. I got to figure out where I was. I think it's Ephesians 2:11. So, Mark, help me out.
Therefore, remember that at one time you Gentiles in the flesh called the uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision, which is made in the flesh by hands.
I don't know what that has to do with anything. But it's there. The other one was Colossians 3:6. This mystery is that the Gentiles are fellow heirs, members of the same body, and partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. So, make every effort to keep yourselves united. United in the Spirit, binding yourselves together with peace. And the context that he was given here was that the Gentiles and the Jews were kind of not accepting each other. And he put this in to make both groups of people realize that Christ had done it all for them and for us. And so he was telling them to make every effort to keep peace amongst each other. And I think we can transcribe that over to us today. To make peace, keep peace amongst each other, keeping our eyes fully focused on Jesus. For there is one body and one spirit, just as you've been called to one glorious hope for the future. John, Ephesians 1, 22 and 23.
And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way.
And Ephesians 2:16, and he might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. I think I've gotten off track here. But hopefully you guys are hearing what God wants you to hear. There is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all, in all, and living through all. Just a little side note. I'm a plumber. You give me a problem with the plumbing fixture or whatever, pipe, I can fix it or I can get somebody to fix it. I'm not a preacher. But God called me to be here, so here I am. Let's see. But I've kind of lost my track here. First Corinthians 8:6. Yet for us there is one God, the Father, from whom all things and for whom all and for whom we exist, and one Lord, Jesus Christ, through whom all things and through whom we exist. And Mike. It's 1 Corinthians 15:28. When all things are subjected to him, then the Son himself will also be subjected to him who put all things in subjection unto him, that God may be all in all. And I think bringing up the end here. There's one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all, in all, through all, and living through all. This all made sense when I laid it out. First Corinthians 6:19-20. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. And 2 Corinthians 13:5, examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves, Examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves, or do you not realize this about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you fail to meet the test? So we're supposed to test ourselves and make sure. Legia? And the last verse I have edifying this is Colossians 1:27. To them God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. So let's go back and read this passage one more time. Therefore I, a prisoner for serving the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling, for you have been called by God. Always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other. Make an allowance for each other's faults because of your love. Make every effort to keep yourselves united in the Spirit, binding yourselves together with peace. For there is one body, one Spirit, just as you have been called to one glorious hope for the future. There is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all, in all, and living through all. David, you want to fire that up if it works? If it works, fine. If not, we're getting out early. I got a song that kind of. Pardon? Yes. I think.
When I'm at my end, you just can't.
Nice read. I'm going to leave you with this verse. We've already read it. 2 Corinthians 13:5. Examine yourselves. Examine myself. To see whether you're in the faith. Test yourselves. Or do you not realize this about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you? Unless indeed you fail to meet the test. So I just implore everybody, I think everybody here passes the test, but just implore you to do a little self-examination, myself included. So that's it. Let's pray. Father, I pray that my words are not heard, but your words were heard. I pray, Lord, that you allow us to take whatever's in this passage and use it in our lives, that we look to you, that we trust you, and we follow you. So, Lord, we just ask your blessings on this time. We ask your blessings for us, that we continue to follow you and to trust you. In Jesus' name, amen.